Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Chicks Talking Footy here on Joy 94.9. My name is Fiona Newton. I'm joined by Rebecca Dahl and Rachel Hopkins. We're missing Danae from the team. We're resting her for the finals. So,
hamstring soreness.
That's right. That's what they say when they don't mean anything. But we're still on a high, aren't we, ladies, from the Pride game?
Oh, my gosh. I've never had that much fun, and I've been to Movie World 3 times. seriously. I wanted it to never end.
It was an amazing, amazing night.
Yeah.
I was really proud to be part of it.
I was a bit sore from dancing under the bright lights afterwards at the after party, but...
All worth it.
Yes, I was also a bit concerned because our one and only fan was there, but everybody was listening. There was hashtagging and
we were
tweeting. And
we were trending
on our own Twitter
and trending.
Account.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, we've got an exciting show coming up, so we're going to be talking about the highlights of round 21. Interesting games this week, I thought.
Some more than others.
Some, yeah, well, that's true. And we have a very special guest, and his name's Tynan Winmar.
You might have heard of him. He got a bit of publicity last week.
He's we'd like to call him a friend.
Yeah, that's right.
He's an honorary Chick Talking Footy.
He is.
Yeah. That's right.
Welcome. So. We'll get you a T-shirt.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
You also may not remember, but you and I cut a serious rug on the dance floor on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it was before the period of time where I started forgetting everything for the rest of the night.
good excuse.
Excellent.
Good
excellent.
Excuse.
We all that cut a rug, Rachel. He's not all yours.
I think I split the room in the middle like the I was dancing. So.
It was a funny room. It was really bright light, so it was really hard to dance like no one was watching.
Oh, I did anyway.
Yeah, same.
But that was that bottle of champagne you had in your hand. Anyway, let's talk
about... We were literally both holding bottles, yeah. Not glasses.
It was kind of like an AbFab movie, really. But let's talk footy.
Okay.
So that has still been happening around this.
There were more games than just
that's
that
one. That's just the one game that we were at. Round 21. So the Bulldogs and the Pies was actually a strangely close game. I didn't expect it to be.
It's a really good game to watch.
Yeah.
I watched it all. It was
I kept trying to go to bed, as you know, I usually do.
For your 8:30.
Correct. On a Friday night. And it just got exciting. I was like pacing the house and I thought, I don't even care.
Yeah.
But I was so into it.
Doesn't actually affect my team at
no,
all.
No, that's right.
But, it came down to the wire, didn't it? I mean, Collingwood, it was down their end and nearly got a goal at the end and won the game. But I was kind of hoping they'd win.
Yeah. Look, it would have been
good for Bulldogs well out of
Buckley.
The four.
Yeah. I like the Bulldogs, though.
And they're doing extremely well for a team with so many injuries, major injuries as well.
Yes. But, we're going to be playing the Pies in a couple of weeks, so they looked actually a bit scary.
Mm. They did. And it does show that they step up against the... Top
yes.
six teams at least.
Yeah, but not Richmond and the bottom teams, funnily enough. So, just to confess, Rachel and I are Hawks supporters. Beck's a Crow. So there's a bit of imbalance in the studios tonight.
I feel victimised.
I noticed Danae's away while the Crows and Dockers play.
She didn't want to face me.
Didn't want to face you.
It's also been a very interesting week for Fremantle with Harris stepping down, about an hour before the game. And also I think Ballantyne, there's
that's
rumors.
Not distracting, is it?
That well, something interesting had to happen to Fremantle. See, while Danae's away, I'm just getting crazy.
We will play. The Lions and the Blues, the Lions got their third victory for the season.
This
was a
happy
bit of a,
for
bless.
Them.
I know.
Cute.
It was a little bit of a who cares match, though, wasn't it? I suppose it was a contest of who couldn't be the Wooden Spooners. This year.
And it was at the Gabba.
The best worst or the worst best or something.
The best of the worst.
Worst, yeah. Yeah.
Hawks beat North Melbourne after an enormous first quarter. It was 52-6 after the first quarter. We didn't even double that score for the next three quarters.
I know. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I would have thought with the history behind the two teams, it would have been quite a fierce opening and
we
were quite
some
bruised
and some,
by
melees and
what happened the week before and... Well, I think Harvey only got a fine for what he did to Mitchell, so I think it was quite... And I think
the big knock on the head that pushed him onto the ground. Yes.
And there was a fight between Hodgson and a player whose name escapes me, and I think they got a fine as well. So it wasn't quite the intense game that I was expecting.
Yeah, normally there's punch-ons between about 20 players.
Which is fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that we condone violence on Chicks
Talking. It's homoerotic, isn't it?
Anywho.
Okay. We'll keep that for hide and seek that's coming
up. Yeah, that's
after.
Right.
Eagles and Giants. Now, that has to be the game of the round.
Natanui.
Won the game for them.
Natanui.
Good on him.
I mean, I don't know if you've watched. I watched the last 2 minutes of that game about five times because it was just amazing. Giants were up by a goal and then and there was about less than a minute and a half to go and then the Eagles got a behind. I mean, if they had kicked only a goal, it would have been a draw. So then it was like, oh, okay, Giants are going to win. It was going back out of the Eagles 50, back out, in, out. And then Natanui, 8 seconds to go, picks the ball up and just snaps a goal.
And you don't see that a lot. Usually, you know, in these kind of games, it's a, you know, shot after the siren. But to see him actually do it that close to the siren was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. And again, intimidating us for next week. So, but yeah, that was just such an amazing. I think it was one of the games of the whole season. The Swans thrashed the Saints at the Pride game.
Not that any of us really got to watch the game, right. But we've heard. Someone told us.
We had a couple of quick glances at the screen just to check the scores, but we didn't actually get to watch the game at all.
The first half was close.
Yes.
Yeah.
My understanding of what I saw.
I thought it was going to be close the whole game.
Yeah.
I think everyone at the Pride game was going for the Saints.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't – all the people we interviewed all were go Saints, go Saints, go – oh, except for Brett Kirk.
Fair enough.
Assistant coach at Sydney Swans was not going for the Saints. Isn't that strange?
Weird.
All righty. We had the Demons win their third game in a row for the first time in how many years? Eight?
Something like that.
Ten?
They just beat Port. That's all I care
about. Oh, poor Port.
I know. It's good when bad things happen.
You're still thinking
people.
They're premiership contenders there, Rachel?
Yeah, Rachel.
All right, not this year, but next year.
Oh, dear.
She's been saying it for 3 years and I keep rolling my eyes. No, they're not going to win the premiership.
Every year.
But exciting for Motti and Malcolm, former supporters. They won their second game of the season against the Suns.
Bless.
Heads would be rolling at the Suns.
Wouldn't
for that,
they?
My goodness. But congratulations. It was exciting to see the Bombers win.
That's right.
Tigers gave up a 30. This, if you were a Tiger supporter, would you be...
You would just crawl into a hole, wouldn't you? Like, honestly.
I mean, 35-point lead at three-quarter time, and then the Cats win by four. I was frustrated. Wanted to keep the Cats out of the top four.
Well, the Cats are similar to Hawthorn, and they always find a way to win, even if it is by kicking 22 points.
And Richmond always find a way to lose.
Yeah.
Charlie Clawson, who we interviewed on Saturday night, he and Will Anderson on their podcast, they always say things are so Richmondy. Like just when you manage to pluck loss out of winning, it's so like, Richmondy. And that was so Richmondy.
Yeah. It was actually.
It's actually quite a skill.
Yeah.
Let's see how we can give up a 6-goal lead and actually lose the game.
Exactly.
Okay, you do this, you do that, done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. If I would be so upset if I was a Richmond supporter. And then the Crows thrashed the Dockers 72 at Domain.
It was not the most exciting game. I'm going to be honest. I was at the pub watching it and I went and watched the end of the Cats and the Tigers game halfway through because it was more interesting. Ooh. But I realised I was becoming a really obnoxious supporter of a top team when I was like, well, why are they letting them kick goals in the last quarter? Like, not. I'm
you
not
should
happy
win
with anything.
By over 100
points every week.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, Danae, speaking of the Dockers, has messaged
in.
She said, "Hey, chicks, it's general soreness. Her hamstrings are fine."
Phew.
And she said, "Crow, can you do our own podcasting from now on?"
Ooh.
Danae does all of our podcasting and works very hard.
She's been podcasting her little fingers off.
She did an amazing job.
I know. The whole 4 hours has been podcasts from our Chicks Talking Footy show. And our affluent messenger this evening is said, finally, Demons, he's an avid follower. So good
excellent.
On you, Deez, except when you're beating Hawthorn. The dynamic of the ladder is interesting at the moment. Hawks are obviously still on top, but if they lose one game, they will probably dropped down to only fourth now that the Giants lost.
Oh, well. Still top four, though.
And the Cats move into the top four as a result of the Giants losing as well. So
Cats are really peaking at the right time, aren't they?
They are.
There's a possibility also that if North lose their two games and Demons win their two games, that the Demons...
Swapperoo.
Yeah. ..could be our... into the top eight for the first time in how many years? 2008?
Six
or something.
That would be fantastic.
I wouldn't be shocked.
You would be, or you
wouldn't be.
Nah.
Well, North could lose. Well, North they're playing Sydney lose. Next week.
North have done not much to impress me this ever, week, but more recently as well.
Yeah, well, they've lost, 10 out of 13 their last...
When you go back to the start of the season when they were undefeated, it seems like a lifetime
ago. We discussed that on the show. I remember we went through the fixture and they'd beaten Brisbane, St Kilda.
Yeah.
Melbourne, no offence Melbourne, back then didn't look like you were going to be so high on the ladder, but they were playing teams, Fremantle, they were playing teams that clearly weren't in contention for the top eight, all in the first 10 weeks.
Yeah, and then playing all the top teams in the last half.
Exactly.
Yeah, we always predicted that this ladder fall would happen.
Yeah, they should have asked us.
All right, in a moment, we're going to be talking to Tynan Winmar, our new friend.
Hashtag
our
besties.
Our new dance buddy. And we're going to be debriefing the Pride game. So looking forward to chatting with him on Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and Danae.
Well, Danae's not here tonight, but I am, Fiona Newton, and Rebecca Dahl and Rachel Hopkins.
And
my closest friend, Rachel.
Wow.
My closest friend, Sally, is here on the Chicks Talking Footy panel. But we're all very excited because we were hosting the Pride game broadcast on Saturday night at Etihad Stadium, the game between the Saints and St Kilda. And we made some new friends that night, it's fair to say. We interviewed something like 32 guests over 4 hours, and the broadcast was national on the Community Radio Network. All the podcasts are up on the Joy website, so you can have a look at those. You can also join our Chicks Talking Footy page on Facebook and stay in touch with everything that we're doing. We'd love to hear your comments, like and share and do all those kind of things. So our very special guest and newfound friend is Tynan Winmar. So welcome to the studio, Tynan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So what was your favourite moment at Pride game?
Oh, it was definitely St Kilda winning.
It was definitely getting interviewed by Chicks Talking Footy.
Look, a close second, come on.
Yeah.
So I think the overall event was a really good night. It was a big success. Obviously, leading up to it, there's a lot of stress about it, being a perfect event. And I think it really came together at the end.
Yeah, fantastic.
So, yeah,
it was a great night. It had a fantastic vibe, I feel.
I think everyone meshed really well throughout all the different groups and different areas.
Like Saints and St Kilda supporters?
Yeah.
That was the thing I noticed, was it was just such a great vibe. I literally feel like every person I met that night is now my closest personal friend. And I have stalked them all on social media and made them all become my friends.
Too much champagne. And
they wanted it, Fee.
Oh, that's another show. Get into that podcast. It was you were obviously right through the news that week too with your story with your dad Nikki, and
quite a busy week for me.
Yes.
I think another thing I want to mention about the game as well, there's a lot of non-St Kilda and Sydney supporters there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the Pride match themselves. So I think that's a really exciting time to see that there's other people that just want to be a part of that event. So, yeah, I just wanted to say it was really great to see that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know a lot of people came to the game just to support the Pride game as well. So,
and a lot of people saying that they felt safe and secure being at the Pride game and watching and being a spectator and being openly gay on that night, which was really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a good performance from Kinky Boots.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that either.
I didn't get to see that either. I was too busy talking and being a bit starstruck with Mark Evans.
Yeah.
You were starstruck.
I was very starstruck.
Funny.
I was home and away heartthrob Charlie Clawson and St Kilda assistant coach Brett Kirk, and you were business, top of the AFL.
Yeah, operations manager.
Operations
AFL.
Manager.
Oh, he was a big part of Hawthorn.
He was a huge part of Hawthorn.
Yeah, okay.
And he used to play for Box Hill.
Oh, so, that would have been a long time ago.
So there's sorry, a history.
Evans. Sorry, Mark Evans.
If you're listening.
But Mark's actually been such a generous supporter of the, you know, combating homophobia in the football community. He's been part of several Pride games leading up to this as well. So,
as were all the guests that we had on, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from all different areas and walks of life and, you know, all those things.
It's good hearing all those different stories.
Yeah. So tell us about your story a little bit, Tynan. You came out a few years ago to your mum, first of all.
Yeah, so I came out to my mum when I was 20. Obviously.
So how old are you now?
I'm 28.
28.
Yeah, now look, a day over 21.
I was going to say, I thought you were 20.
I'm turning 29 in November, so.
Oh, happy birthday. We'll send you a card.
Thank you. Thank you. 3rd of November, if anyone's asking. So, yeah, I kind of knew that I was gay from, like, say, 14, 15, but it was probably wasn't until I was about 20 that, you know, got through high school, you know, started becoming more comfortable with myself. And that's when I decided to, you know, open up to my mum and talk to her about it first. And then with my dad, because we hadn't spoken for about 10 years, I think about 2 years ago, I spoke to him after he had his heart attack, reconciled with him, and then that's when I told him I was gay as well. So, as I said in previous interviews, he, you know, embraced me. There was a little bit of sort of hesitation to start off with, but he's embraced me 100%. So, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, fantastic. And he's obviously such an icon in the football community. Yes. It would have been quite a public, it's been quite a public thing, the story between the two of you as well. Mm. So,
It's good to be part of it with him, and it's also good that my mum got to be part of the Pride match on the day as well, because she sort of hasn't had much interaction with it. It's obviously been my father for the majority of the time, but I'm really glad she got to come to the Pride match and experience it and meet a lot of people. So I'm really proud of that. It's true.
Yeah, she sounds like an amazing woman. So
she is an amazing woman, very strong woman. So very proud to have her as my mum.
Yeah, she'd have to be married to Mr. Nicky Winmar.
Yeah, for the period of time she did. Yeah.
We spoke a lot at the Pride game about the statistics revolving youth and also the importance of sport and so forth. And do you think something like the Pride game would have been important for you when you were younger, when you were 14, 15?
Yeah, because it would have given me a voice. Mm. It would have given me a platform to be confident in who I was. And then, you know, it's sort of like a defence to, you know, those homophobic comments to say, like, hey, if the AFL supports it, why can't you? Yeah, so I absolutely. Think it would have been a powerful platform for me as a teenager playing sport. As I said, I've received homophobic slurs in sport, but at the time people weren't aware of my sexuality. But I think if you have that platform and like moving forward now, I think it's a really great thing for people in sport now.
So where do you see things going now? Obviously, there's been this big event. We've coloured the world rainbow.
Yep.
And I love the fact that it was a great celebration and not just a combat homophobia kind of night. It was actually a party. But where do we go now, do you think?
I think it's just a matter of just seeing how everything pans out and just giving, like, you know, a chance to sort of sink in with the community, because obviously there was such a large hype with the game. Mm. And I think initially, you know, that hype sort of plays on a couple of weeks after and sort of slows down. But I think it'd be interesting to see after the hype sort of died off to see how much this message has translated into the community. And I think in regards to a player coming out openly gay, it's something that we just have to be patient about. And I think from a media perspective, it's not something we can sort of want to happen straight away. I think we just got to be respectful, because at the end of the day, it is a personal story and it's a personal journey for everyone. And obviously, as gay people, we're fully aware of that. So I think, we just need to sort of...
Well, I mean, it's interesting now with the Women's League that I've been talking about this a lot, actually, but, in the Women's League, the 80% of the girls in the VWFL are openly gay. So it's not a case of when will the first footballer come out anymore.
Yeah, no.
It's more, obviously, part of the hyper-masculinity culture with the blokes.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty about women's sport is there's such an open acceptance for sexuality in women's sport. It's not necessarily condemned as much as, like, I guess, in the male sporting industry. So I hope that, you know, the guys sort of look at that and look at that, that the power that the women have in that game, not only to actually get the game for themselves, but to, you know, tell their story and be confident who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And as you say, it's also about the indirect discrimination felt, where homophobic slurs are not actually directed at someone's sexuality, but it's seen acceptable to sort of belittle people by using homophobic slurs at the football.
That's the thing. You don't even know who's listening, so...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel and I had a funny thing happen at the football where we were watching a Hawks Geelong game and the Hawks guy in front of us was yelling out faggot to the Geelong players and he was quite inebriated and whatever, and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, hey mate, do you mind cutting down on the homophobic slurs kind of thing?
Yeah.
So 10 minutes later he's like, effing Geelong maggot. And I thought, you know, baby steps.
But it does look, it does go to show.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
But it did go to show. You pointed out, and he apologised as an inebriated man can, but he did, and he stopped that behaviour. Yeah. So it does go to show that we do need to start. You know,
just calling it
up.
Out when you see it. Yeah, because exactly. I think a lot of the times people don't even realise that they're being offensive. It's just words they've used for
20
years.
I think that's right. And they don't realise the impact of the words. And I think it was Francis Leach said when we interviewed him, he said it's the conduct you walk past, that's the conduct you accept.
Yeah.
And I thought that's so true that, you know, there's a responsibility, I guess, on us that, you know, are not like that to say, hold on, that's not okay, and start that change.
Yeah. From faggot to maggot.
Exactly. Sounds like the name of a book.
A bunch of sticks to
that's right. To a small worm. Yeah. This has got weird quickly. The other thing I wanted to say about the prior game and what I'm hoping comes out of it is when we interviewed Lockie and Charles Beaton, the twins, who I promised I would say hello to because they promised me they were going to listen, they were talking about the game being a conversation starter, you know, someone being able to say, you know, mum and dad, you know, what you saw last night, well, I'm gay, or not that simple, but, you know, just being an opening to a conversation within families.
Yeah, I just totally agree with that, I think, because it shows that it's not something that should be condemned, it's something that should just be embraced, and I think it's such a powerful platform, and I think with my dad as well, as I said, with him, you know, coming forward, it creates a relatable person to the topic. And, you know, it translates to a lot of people. I've received so much feedback just in regards to my dad saying, like, you know, how much they loved him as a football player and how proud they are that he, you know, embraced me for who I was. So his face alone, I think, has created such an acceptance for this issue.
Yeah.
Rather than just sort of some individual who's just got a gripe with the AFL. Yeah,
well, he's also an icon of the game for tackling racism as well. So,
and I think it's people like your dad and like Russell Green are men of a generation that probably don't understand as much as, you know, some of the generations that have come after them. And I think it's really important to have men of that generation that other people can look to and say, oh, well, Russell Green and Nicky Wimmer think this is okay, so maybe I need to get on board.
And it just goes to show that you can change your opinions about things. Like, as Russell said before, he's like, you know, he did say slanderous slurs and all that in regards to, like, homophobic comments. And he said as soon as he realised what his words meant, he changed his actions straight away. So, you know, we're not all set in stone. We're more than capable of changing our opinions about things. So I think this is a great thing to do.
Yeah, great. We're going to be back after a few messages and we'll wrap up the show with time to maybe have a quick peek at what's happening next week in the footy on Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're with Fiona Newton, Rachel Hopkins and Rebecca Dahl from the Chicks Talking Footy team. We have a very lovely guest in the studio, Tynan Winmar, who we became friends with on Saturday night at the Pride game between St Kilda and Sydney.
Can I ask a quick question, Tynan?
Yes.
During our interview, Fee and I were trying to find your boyfriend and we started the hashtag love for Tynan. Has there been any action? Please discuss.
Well, I was actually disappointed I got cut out of the podcast.
I heard that at the end. I was like, damn.
Look, as I said, I didn't have Grindr installed. I did install it after the weekend.
Because you're a celebrity.
It has sort of blown up a little bit, and I'm curious to see if, like, people recognise me from my photo or anything like that. So far it's been about 50-50.
Okay.
So I'm curious to see what happens after tonight, whether I get more attention or not.
Maybe we'll ask Tynan back near the finals and just check on hashtag love for Tynan.
Well, you can message him right now on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Or on Grindr.
Send us your Grindr profile. We'll review it and pass the right ones on to Tynan.
Much appreciated, guys.
Just quickly, how do you think local clubs are embracing Pride game? And
well, it's insane. That's actually, I've got an interesting meeting tomorrow night in my hometown of Ballarat. I'm having a meeting with a local club from Ballarat and to discuss my story and I have the Pride match win and everything like that. So I think from a grassroots point of view, it's probably more proactive at this stage now than ever, and it's really great to see that, because I believe that's where it sort of starts, because there is a little bit sort of shallow-minded people in some industries and that, so I'm a little bit nervous because obviously it's my hometown and I'm worried that I may know some people. But it's also good because now I've been asked to be part of the Saints Pride group that was at the event earlier. So I'm really looking forward to being part of them and, you know, sort of spreading the message through them as well. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to any sort of interviews that come out of this because I want to, you know, I have the opportunity now with my voice and I want to use it to the best of my ability.
Yep.
I'm, yeah, looking really forward to, you know, talking to the grassroots footy in Ballarat about it.
Yeah, great. Well, I know we talked with you and Sean Towers on Saturday night.
Towner,
Sean.
About that.
I know. That wasn't me, Sean. That was Fiona.
Ended with
Urs. We're still mates.
Yeah. but he had a really interesting story about his boyfriend being a wag at the club and how the club's got
head wag.
A head wag.
Wow.
Yeah, all the girls got round him with champagne and all that kind of thing. So it's interesting that a lot's happening at local levels. So I think that's really encouraging.
And on that very important issue, who do you think is going to win the grand final?
Oh, I think after the last couple of rounds, that's a really tough question.
Mm.
Like, I never would have thought Melbourne would be this high up. And exactly. I never thought that St Kilda would be this bad.
Actually, they haven't had a bad year.
No, and then you know what? They've had a really good comeback towards the end of the year. And I'm really excited for the next season with St Kilda. I think they're going to be
too.
A really top
contender. I think they're a great team.
I think you're on the up.
And I think I deserve a grand final.
Yeah,
win.
I think a lot of St Kilda supporters.
I've been through
like
enough
that.
Through.
<I know. laughs>
They deserve a grand final for supporting the Pride game.
That's right.
Exactly. And, you know, I went through the Crows and St Kilda grand final, so.
Indeed.
Well, really, really quickly before we go, should we quickly have a look into the round 22? Gosh, we're so close, everybody. West Coast Hawthorn. It is in West Coast. Ugh, damn it.
You'll be right, Rach.
Oh, I don't think so. And we need to win, I think, superstitious-wise.
Storming through.
Storming through. Ruse versus Swans.
Swans.
Yep. Richmond versus St Kilda.
Obviously St Kilda.
Yeah, got to do it. GWS versus Dockers.
It's going to be ugly.
Sorry, Janae. Collingwood versus Suns.
Ooh, Collingwood.
Collingwood. Port Adelaide versus Radelaide.
Showdown. Go Crows. Happy 250th game to Eddie Betts.
Carlton, Melbourne.
Carlton.
Brisbane. Cats.
Sorry, Brisbane.
Essendon Bulldogs. Got to be the Bulldogs.
Go Dogs.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening to Talks Chicks Footy.
You've been listening to the
Chicks
Hawthorn Football Club.
And talks and stuff, yeah.
And thank you, Tynan, for coming in
Thanks
and being a lovely
guys.
Guest.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.